The truth.
If the mood takes me and I need to unwind, leave the trouble and the sorrows behind. Just get out there and I follow that road. Take a little pressure from my heavy load. When I wake up and I don't feel fine, I start to head towards that candy line. I hit the road and I follow my gaze. Get out searching for better days. Have you ever woken up and said it worthwhile? Did you think for yourself you're gonna end up on a file? And if you're proud of your country and you're proud of your race, the world seems too close and you're in need of some space now. When I wake up and I don't feel fine, I start to head towards that county line. I hit the road and I follow my gaze. Get out searching for better days. Now, I start ahead towards that county line. I hit the road and I follow my gaze. Get out searching for better days. When you've been out and you follow that road, it lifts up your spirits and you're ready to go. The north wind is blowing, your doubts are all gone, and the foe is retreating, cause you're carrying on. When I wake up and I don't feel fine, I start to head towards that county line. I hit the road and I follow my gaze. Get out searching for better days.
All right, here we go. It's Cindy Radio on the Republic Broadcasting Network. Welcome to the broadcast. November 17, 2019, Ken and I were having some issues with my Skype getting connected, and always interesting when that all happens. Everything's running smooth, and it's time to go on the air, and then everything just slows down. Isn't that nice? Isn't that nice? All right. So here's what we're going to do tonight. I had so many notes. I only have one audio clip to play for you. I had so many notes throughout the week that I just decided I'm going to wing it with my notes, because there's so many things that happened and there's just so many things I saw and articles and so forth. And it's just things happening all over the place that I was just like, hell with it. I got enough notes here to do the broadcast, but we're going to go ahead and have open phones as well. 1-800-313-9443. Anyone interested in jumping in after I get things rolling, you can do so. I guess the big one is Roger Stone, of course, convicted in this, this show trial, this kangaroo court, and so forth and so on. Now, Roger admittedly had around 3 million emails in his account and so forth. They got him for lying to Congress. And witness intimidation, I believe that's basically what's going on. Some radio host was a big witness against him. Steve Bannon, this character, was some sort of a witness in this thing. This thing's been under a gag order, and this Berman Jackson, this little piece of swine, running this federal court up there in the D.C. area, where 92% of the people are hostile to Trump and basically Republicans, because this is where their bread is buttered, folks. You have to realize the richest three counties in the nation surround Washington, D.C. It's all because of the bloated Leviathan state up there that the founding fathers would burn down in half a minute. We all know this. Most of the people occupying seats in the government, the founding fathers would take out and execute for treason and sedition and all these things. And so we're under a soft Bolshevism right now. The iron fist is starting to come out. The velvet gloves coming off. All of us have been warning all these years that this is what's happening. And now we're witnessing the NKVD Cheka style of justice coming down the pike. We've got the censorship, the complete takeover. Well, the media has been taken over, but as far as, I should say, turnover of reality, it really started after 9/11 with the Bush regime, this crime family, which Roger Stone wrote a book. I'll give him his due on that. He wrote a book about the Clintons. He wrote a book about the Bushes. So he had no friends in the deep state. And the things contained in those books, I haven't read them, but I've heard him speak about them. There's a lot of salacious material and a lot of things pointing out the connections between these crime families, with going all the way back to where Slick Willie was the governor of Arkansas, and he was the attorney general, and you can only imagine the drama going on when he was attorney general. But when he was governor with the Mina kids, all the cocaine flying in, and Roger Clinton, and vacuum nose Roger, and all the shenanigans that those of us that have been involved in this kind of, just trying to keep knowledge flowing in and trying to keep our discernment level up. This thing's been dirty for a long, long time. You know, all the national security state built right after World War II and leading up, Wild Bill Donovan and the OSS, and then the National Security Agency, the CIA, the Hoover's FBI morphing into Comey's FBI, Fake Bombings Incorporated, all the false flags and the psychological warfare, the counterintelligence program. We're all victims of what they want to present to us as our own government. But of course, this has been off the rails for a long time, a hijacked system. And now a lot of people are going to face the iron fist, and even people as small as you and I, folks, we all have to prepare ourselves for the eventuality, especially those of us that are hosts on RBN and hosts on other small networks where it's no holds barred. We talk about everything and anything, and we all have to prepare for the eventuality that, they're eventually going to trickle down tyranny to us, okay? And those of you that are hardcore listeners and people doing things behind the scenes, and, it is what it is. What are you going to do? You're going to be a shrinking violet and let this whole thing go Bolshevik on us without saying a word? I was at the gas pump today getting some gas. And once again, I went inside. I prepaid because I don't like swiping a card at the pumps. You know that these clowns all over the place are embedding card, basically jacking software into these card readers at the gas pumps, folks. Don't use your – now a lot of them now are putting a seal, where they can go in and they got their own key. The people that work at the gas station, they got their own key. They can open up and do software maintenance and so forth. Well, they're putting seals across that area now to give you at least some peace of mind that these hackers haven't embedded this malware, or whatever you want to call it, that jacks your credit card information right there at the pump. People have been busted all over the country doing this. But anyway, so I go into prepay, and then I see all these knuckleheads. One of them's buying a cup of coffee with his card. The other one's doing this and this, and they're all got their cards. I'm the only one paying in cash, folks. We're going to Sweden and Estonia quicker than you can say anything. And so we're in big trouble. I was sitting there just thinking about it. Then I go out there and I'm pumping my gas, and this punk white kid's booming the rap music. And I'm just sitting there thinking, I'm like, these clowns are all in there swiping their cards, giving up every bit of their privacy, where they were, what they spent, everything else. And then we got the white kid out here booming the rap. It just made me, it all just came down on me, just sitting there like, we're in so much trouble as a country. I don't know how quickly the ton of bricks is coming, but I just feel it in my bones that the cultural collapse is, very, very quick, and it's going to be some sort of, marauders out here in the streets one of these days very soon when they decide to drop this system and put it in the dark for a while so they can implement this new Mark of the Beast system. It's going to get ugly, and you're going to have marauders in your neighborhoods, especially those of you that live in suburbia and urbia, people like myself. So you have to have yourself an escape plan. You're going to have yourself enough rounds to let a few bodies pile up in your property, give people a warning not to come near your house or what the hell ever you got going on. But this thing's going real crazy. Now, let's just say I had to be, there was something that happened to me where I was basically near a TV for a while, and there were limited channels, basic cable. Okay. And let's just say I didn't have anywhere to go, nothing to do. And, I don't like sitting on my phone, even though I scroll through a lot of articles and so forth, and I get a lot of material for the show. While I'm doing that, I don't like doing that for long periods of time. It bores me. It just gets me in a place where I don't really necessarily like to be. I like to get on there, look around, put it down. I'm an old school person to where I was here while we were using rotary phones. When I was growing up as a kid, I had a rotary phone. Then eventually came your push button model phone. And then here comes all the rest. But anyway, so I'm still old school enough to have grown up. And then there were some people with the old phones before the rotaries, grandparents and so forth. But anyway, I don't like sitting on my phone all day. So I was watching. So I decided to turn on. I found A&E, okay? And there was a First 48, okay, marathon going on. It's in the middle of the week and so forth. So I probably watched, and for those of you that don't know what the First 48 is, it's a show put on, okay, where basically it's based on when a homicide occurs, the detective bureau, the homicide detectives crank up and they really try to get as much information as they can, and if they can solve the thing within the first 48. This is where the title of the show comes from, because percentages, when you look at statistics, they want to solve these crimes within the first 48 hours, because then it dramatically kind of falls off as far as their chances of solving the crime in a rather quick fashion. And then a lot of these, places like St. Louis especially and others, these guys got murder coming in, and then next thing you know, the next one's happening. So they want to solve these things quick because there's statistically the percentages go down. So hence the First 48, the name of the program. I probably watched, I want to say, at least 20 episodes of this, and it was based on Atlanta, Miami, Dallas, Houston, Louisville, Tulsa. And so some of them are smaller cities, and some of them were the big heavy cities, okay? And it basically, the show follows around these homicide detectives and basically goes through the process of investigating these murders. And so I guarantee you a lot of these killers are out here watching it so they can know how people are being caught and to try to cover their steps better. But anyway, I watched a whole lot of episodes from all over the country of this first 48, and it really gave me some insights because it really gets into these neighborhoods where a lot of murders are happening. And I'm let's just say very close to areas such as this personally here in St. Louis, but it gives you a wider kind of breadth of, what it's looking like in other, kind of hood areas in our country. And I'll tell you what, we're in big trouble. Cultural implosion at the max, folks. Cultural implosion is at a max. When they go into these neighborhoods where these people are living, the abuse going on to animals being tied up and so forth, and just the squalor people are living in 2019 in the hood and kind of in the, kind of country-ish, I don't want to, places where there's poor whites and, of course, Latinos. We have to realize we've absorbed a lot of Latinos, and there's a whole lot of that going on. Don't think, everybody talks about pedos, but pedophilia and messing around with young kids is rampant in the Latino community, especially in their own countries, Mexico and so forth. They pimp out these little girls like you wouldn't believe, and they molest the young ones in their families and so forth and so on. It's an epidemic in the Latin American world as well, okay? The priests and everything else, rabbis are having a good time down there, and I'm sure the imams are doing their thing. But as far as just a regular Joe's doing it as well, okay, it's massive. So, anyway, the first 48, just insights. And I don't look at what other people are looking at when I'm watching a program like that. I'm looking at what's the surroundings. What are these apartments looking like? How are these people living? What's the intelligence level of the man on the ground here that these guys are interviewing? I'm doing a cultural kind of barometer. While other people are just kind of following the case, I'm looking at a lot of things. And so that's just, I'm kind of an amateur anthropologist. It's just part of the way I tick. And it's very, very crazy where we're headed. And the ignorance level. We all see it it's so massive right now. And the amount of people that trust media still. They want to, if you get into a one-on-one, I don't trust the media, but when you see them talking to other people and you see what their source of information is, they do. They'll tell you all day they don't trust the media, but at the same time, they trust the reporting, especially with racial things. Now, I'm sure many of you have seen this football incident. Okay, I'm transitioning now with this Myles Garrett of the Cleveland Browns and Mason Rudolph, the acting quarterback of the Pittsburgh Steelers. Now, I don't follow sports. I don't watch sports, but it comes up in my news feeds and so forth. When I'm monitoring websites and various things, it of course. When I see a massive controversial story such as this, I'll look at it and I'll pay some attention to it. So this is a perfect microcosm of the racial divide in the United States between whites and blacks, of course. You'll see, now I've watched the footage quite a few times to see what happened. Okay, so here's the breakdown. This a few seconds left in the game. 8 seconds left. And there's no way Pittsburgh could have won the game. They're down to like 21-7. They're down 2 touchdowns. 8 seconds left. Well, rather than just, take a knee and let the clock run out, and freaking Pittsburgh's offensive coordinator and whoever, they decide to try to run a pass play. So the guy steps back in the pocket. Here comes this, you know, number one draft pick, black guy, Myles Garrett of the Cleveland Browns. And Rudolph gets the ball away. And then here comes this guy, Garrett, and, you know, gives him a good smashing, okay? Now, it probably would have been called as a late hit if this didn't go turn, you know, south. But anyway, so he cranks this quarterback pretty good and throws him around real nice. So the quarterback gets all pissy. And now, whether he meant to or not, his foot was in a place where it was in this Cleveland Brown defensive guy's crotch nearby. And then people are, you know, it's kind of questionable. But then the quarterback gets all flipped out, and then he starts, you know, losing his temper, and he actually has his hands around this guy's helmet, the defensive guy's helmet. And now other people are saying that his hand was stuck, blah, 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 blah. I seen him yank on the guy's helmet a couple times. Well, this pissed off this huge, big, black defensive guy. So he rips off this little quarterback's helmet, okay? And then all the other guys come in to try to stop it and so forth. But then this little quarterback, big for his britches, he comes rushing in. And then the defensive guy swings his helmet, binks him in the head, not with the top of the helmet, kind of like where the helmet goes on and hits your shoulders. Hits him on the head, halfway decent. And so this guy's going to be out for the year and so forth. So I gave you the breakdown of what happened. But if you get all these commentators, you get Samuel L. Jackson involved, you know, you're – and so basically it's breaking down them along racial lines pretty decently. And so you'll see basically white people are like, oh, this guy committed a crime. He should be in jail. And then blacks are like, hey, the little punk started it. He got what he deserved, and so forth. And then there's other people saying, hey, look, the little quarterback started it, and so forth and so on. But the guy's reaction, he overreacted. He should have never swung the helmet at the guy. Because technically, he swung the helmet hard enough to where if he would have caught that guy in the right place on his skull, he could have killed him, maybe comaed him up, yeah, put him in a coma, done some serious damage, yes, he could have. But this, it just made me look at it as kind of like this anthropological angle, saying, look at how people see things so differently. It was almost like the OJ trial over again, how when OJ was innocent, the whole black part of the country and everybody in front of the TVs was cheering OJ. Because he got off. He beat the man, Mark Furman, the alleged Nazi, and so forth and so on. You know, the whole thing. This was it. And then everybody that was white couldn't believe it, that O.J. got off, you know, for allegedly killing his wife and this Jewish kid, Ron Goldman, her little, you know, boy toy or whatever you want to call it. And just interesting cultural play here, watching it go down. Got a few minutes left here. Jeff Bezos. I was listening to a program. I think it was on Rick Wilde's, and I might have mentioned this last week, but I can't remember. I didn't scratch it off. He throws this thing called Campfire. Okay, where it's almost like a bohemian grove for the 21st century, where he brings all these people out and has this kind of retreat. You know, this is all this corporate crap. All these people read all these corporate magazines and the trends and how are we going to do interviews and how are we going to run our organization. So this is all like trendy crap. Everybody reads this crap. Oh, you know, and it's just like it's all gobbledygook, and it just gives me this the creeps, and I see it personally, and I hate it. Okay, somebody comes up with a stupid idea of how to run your organization, and everybody has to cookie cutter, copy and paste it and do it, and you know, team building exercises and all this cultic weird initiation stuff. Well, Jeff Bezos is running the campfire. And I thought about the English language when once we break it down, how based on this gematria system that it is, you know, Rick Wiles and these guys go off on gematria as witchcraft and blase blah, and it's you know, and you shouldn't deal with it. And I understand that to an extent, but you have to realize that the modern English, when you get into the people that actually constructed it, the whole thing is based on gematria, you know, A being 1, B being 2, C being 3, and so on and so forth. And then other kinds of multiples throughout this, the alphabet, meaning numbers, you know, the Hebrew letters, you know, a lot of this comes out of Kabbalistic teaching. Well, guess what? Isaac Newton and a lot of the founding fathers and a lot of people throughout English history have been into the gematria, okay? A lot of English secret society kind of stuff. You know, when you get into British Israelism and B'nai B'rith, Britain, and I was thinking about... did I put this in my notes? Yeah. I was thinking, you know, Breitbart, right? And then the connections with Israel, right? B'nai Breitbart, B'nai Britbart. Now, I coined that term today, and I don't know if anybody else has brought that up, but I thought about it because I was thinking about the word Brit, and it meaning covenant or the cut, sons of the cut, B'nai B'rith, meaning, the, you know, the when you get your foreskin cut off, but Great Britain, okay, the man of the covenant being Britain, and this gets into Christian identity and British Israelism and so forth and so on. B'nai Breitbart, B'nai Britbart, whatever you want to say. So anyway, but the gematria here with campfire, okay, 36, C being the third letter of the alphabet, fire, F being the sixth. So you got your 36 there, and you can play with your numbers. You know, a lot of people get into what numbers mean and their meaning, 8 being kind of new birth or infinity, and those four, the 3 being the Trinity, 5, pentagram, so forth and so on. 666, number of the beast. 666 adds to 18, the number 9, and you got a lot of satanic orders, you know, all these satanic covens, the number 9's real big. Interesting stuff. So anyway, Bezos, campfire. So he's got the new kind of billionaire, Bohemian Grove, corporate, owns the Washington Post, gets a big contract from the CIA to pump propaganda into dumb Americans. Very interesting. Connecticut Supreme Court rules against Remington firearms. And this is all, you know, there's so much insidious crap coming out of Connecticut, Harvard, and Yale, okay? But then you had the Sandy Hook operation. And now you've got Connecticut Supreme Court, the Sandy Hook. It's like everything surrounds this Sandy Hook operation from 2012, the stuff that's going on with Dr. Fetzer, now the Connecticut Supreme Court. I mean, what the hell is it with Connecticut? Is this demon area? And right when Sandy Hook happened, everybody kind of looked into that town up there, Newtown, and some satanic connections. And then you Serco. And all this weird stuff, it's almost like something out of Children of the Corn or some like a Truman Show, where everything's almost artificial there. And everything's coming out of there that's basically for our enslavement. And then you had all these guys waiting there to turn their firearms in and register their firearms and all this. But the Supreme Court rules against Remington. So now basically a firearms manufacturer can be sued when a crime happens and they're using that firearm. We're in big trouble. All right, see you guys on the other side of the break. So why must we let our chances fly? And when will we ever
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Many people tell us about their experience with Extendivite. Just listen to what Glenn has to say.
Prior to taking it, I had diabetic neuropathy. The Extendivite reduced that significantly. Acid reflux was reduced. I had athlete's foot, very severe. Trimmed that down to about 75%. Dandruff, almost completely gone. I had occipital neuralgia at the base of my skull. I was having migraines, reduced by about 90%. Heart palpitations, my heart would kind of stall out. I would skip a beat. Very uncomfortable. And when walking from downstairs going to sleep, by the time I got to the bedroom, which is just one flight of stairs, my heart was pounding, coming out of my chest. My vision was blurry. This completely solved that problem. Great product. Thanks.
Tell us your story. Get Extendivite today. Call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Tired of being lied to by mass media? It's growing more and more apparent today that news is received less and less through standard media outlets. Even with a growing audience every day, RBN is beginning to direct more efforts into social media. Social media and the use of the internet is fast becoming the primary source of people for news, regardless of demographic. RBN has set out to provide some of the best news on the internet through republicbroadcasting.org and also has begun to use the tools to our advantage by way of social media. Republic Broadcasting is now operating a Facebook page to function as yet another avenue to have our collective voice reach new audiences across not only America, but across the globe as well. The Facebook page features not only news, but also an RBN player to listen to our broadcast. Get involved by visiting facebook.com/republicbroadcasting and liking our page and share it with your friends and family, because you can handle the truth.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
We're back. Subsidiary Radio on the Republic Broadcasting Network. The phones are open. 1-800-313-9443. 1-800-313-9443. Thanks, everybody, for listening. So I'm just going down. I got a whole page of notes here from various things I've seen. So just kind of like transitioning from subject to subject here. I was listening to Jeff Rentz the other night, and he had Joel Skousen on from World Affairs Brief, and we're all familiar with Joel, kind of a traditional conspiratorial conservative Mormon guy. But Rentz was talking about, you know, climate change. Okay. And this is an angle that I don't think about enough because I just kind of poo poo it. And I just be like, look, you know, between the geoengineering and people tinkering, Air Force 2025, owning the weather, weather's a force multiplier, these documents, all these countries playing games, weather warfare, modification, and all this stuff. He brought up another angle, which I really don't keep in the forefront of my brain, and which is the Fukushima disaster and its impact on the jet stream, climate change, you know, various things. You know, you get this big nuclear meltdown. Now, some people still to this day say Fukushima is not impacting things the way that some construe it to do. And it was kind of interesting to listen to the back and forth, because Joel Scott, you know, Rentz was sitting there saying the whole Pacific's dead, et cetera, et cetera. Those of us that listen from time to time know that that's what he constantly kind of harps on. And Joel Skousen's like, no, it's not. There's people still out here fishing. So they kind of got into a little dust up. It was kind of interesting. I say there's probably a, you know, decent portions where this stuff, the radiation has flowed heavily. Other parts, I mean, it's huge. The oceans are huge, folks. And I'm not going to sit here and say they're dead, but if this meltdown is as catastrophic as others say, then I'm sure that it's causing a lot of damage to the life in the seas. All right. So, but anyway, let's just say that's an impact on the climate that I don't think about as much as maybe I should take into consideration when I'm looking at the equation here. But these bastards, you know, I was thinking about this. I was thinking about organic food. You got all these labels. Oh, everything's organic now. No, it's not. If you're growing it outside, how can it be organic when they're spraying chemicals in the air all day, every day? It's not organic. And I was thinking, well, what's the only way you could really have anything organic? It's like what you need is some sort of a dome system where you can still get like a greenhouse dome system where you can still get the sunlight, but then you're going to have to filter the air coming into your plants. You got all these heavy metals, aluminum, all the who knows what, the Morgellons fibers and the nanotech, they're blowing it. I mean, can an air filter even catch some of the stuff that they're pumping out through the geoengineering program? I don't know. But hell, nothing's organic anymore. That's what's so just, you know, pisses you off to the point where you're like, you can't find anything clean anymore. It's over. You know, I mean, unless, you know, I don't know, but I'm really, you know, pessimistic when it comes to watching this spraying and then realize that it's going down on the crops, and then this stuff's getting pumped into your kids and you know, the waterways. I mean, sheesh. You know, I've got a couple water filtration systems, but do they filter the particulate down enough to where is there nanotech in here that the filters can't catch? The hell, none of us know. Let's take Frank in North Carolina. Greetings, good evening, Frank. What's up, man?
Hey, Robert, I heard that little mini debate between Joel Skousen
And
Jeff Rentz on the matter of the Pacific Ocean and Fukushima, and that my ears really perked up on that, because I always think that Jeff Rentz over-exaggerates that with very little proof because here's the thing, you know, we monitor a lot of talk radio, alternative media. It seems to me like if it was as, I'm not saying that it's not bad. I mean, I think it is a really terrible, event. But if it's as bad as Jeff Rentz is saying, wouldn't listeners, regular listeners to Jeff Rentz and Alex Jones and all these other shows be calling in that have family members that make a living off the Pacific Ocean in one way or another? Wouldn't they be calling in?
He documents, hold on, Frank, he documents from time to time about various kind of guys that do their fishing and so forth. Some of the businesses kind of going out and getting only so many sardines and, but I just don't know, you know, the Asians of the planet live basically quite a bit from the ocean, and you can watch videos and over there in Thailand right now and other places to where they still got fish coming in. Now, whether it's radioactive or not, I couldn't tell you. I'd like to know, but it, you know, I don't know. It's a hard one to really discern.
Yeah, well, I don't want to eat the fish. They having the Olympics, the 2020 Olympics in
Tokyo?
Japan?
Allegedly in Tokyo, 2020. There's still a lot of stuff that going on in Tokyo, tournaments of various sports and people going over there, gymnastics and everything like bowling. And so, you know, Tokyo hasn't been evacuated. So, I mean, I don't know. We'll have to look for the mass casualties of people dying with cancer. I mean, cancer's already bad because everything else these assholes are doing to us. So I don't, you know what I mean? It's just, it's crazy.
Well, you know, another thing that seems to be usually left out of the conversation, the debate on, you know, climate change and the Gulf Stream and all this other stuff is, you know, it's pretty well documented. I've never really looked into it, but every now and then a caller who's informed on the matter will bring it up. You know, there's quite a lot of underground or undersea, rather, volcanic activity. It has quite a significant effect, I think, on the water temperatures and whatnot. And certainly that, along with solar activity, has to have an influence. And you know, these people, these climate change people, don't ever talk about that. You don't even hear that much, even in the alternative media discussions.
Yeah, well, you've got also the seismic activity and the methane releases, you know what I'm saying, which is not necessarily volcanic, but some of it is, you know, but yeah, a lot of it, to me, it's just like, man, let God control the weather. Even if you don't believe in God, it's just like, look, what we're doing to the place, telling me to stop driving a car, you know, telling me not to run the AC, I think we're way past that point. And it's just like, who wants to give up their air conditioning? Who wants to give up their, you know, cars in the United States? And then you got Greta Thunberg, this little half Down syndrome girl that's been recruited. Her sick parents push her forward. And then she's running her mouth trying to dictate to other people, you know, how dare you, you know. And it's just like, and she's hanging out with Leo DiCaprio and Schwarzenegger and all these people. These people are all slime. They really make me sick.
Well, it's all agenda driven. They're not really informed on it. I guess they think they are, but yeah, she was actually in town. She was here in Charlotte last week.
Oh, really?
Thunberg girl.
Oh, God.
Yeah, she's just a useful, you know, exploited girl. But you know, the other thing, I heard a caller to a show the other day say that they had heard Dr. Steve Pachinik. On with Alex Jones. So
yeah, he was on this week with Jones.
Yeah, so anyway, I turned it on my phone. I went to my Alex Jones listen line, which I haven't used in many months. And I said, let me just see if I get lucky and catch him. And sure enough, the first voice I heard was Steve Pachinik. I don't know how long he'd been on, but you know, I've heard this come up a lot. He's a great admirer, or at least he claims to be, of George H.W. Bush. He talks about what a great man he was and everything. And, you know, he says some weird stuff like that that, I just don't get. Because, I mean, I really think he says a lot of interesting things. He really puts his neck out there and says some things. He talks about Israel 9/11. He talks about Sandy Hook being a staged event that no one died. He says a lot of weird things, but then he throws out something about George H.W. Bush being a great guy and some of these other guys.
Yeah.
And I was interested to get your take on that. And then Roger Stone, I understand his face turned red when he heard the jury's verdict. And
he had to expect it.
Saw it on TV.
Yeah, he had to expect it.
I'm assuming that Trump, his old buddy Trump, is going to pardon him. He should.
But he had
written a book or co-authored a book exposing the Clintons and George Herbert Walker Bush.
He wrote one on the Clintons. He wrote two separate books, and then he wrote one, it's called The Bush Crime Family, and then he wrote another one called The Clintons' War on Women. And so he really documented how Hillary basically ran cover for all Bill's little kind of rapes and all the rest of it. And so he did a lot of exposés on both of these kind of factions. I read some of the stuff about Roger from kind of publications on the left side of the spectrum about what he did and so forth and so on. Basically, it was selective prosecution. And these people, the tech giants, they can get up there and come lie to Congress. Every time they go up there, they lie. But is any of them getting brought before a federal magistrate to, face charges for lying to Congress? Of course they're not. So this, the justice system in on the federal level is basically, it's NKVD, Cheka, Stasi, whatever you want. It's full of commies. They've embedded the bench with so many, and they're all members of the bar anyway. So there's a conspiracy at the ground level. But then you get to the next level of what their political leanings and affiliations are. It's going to be either commie, full-blown commie, like appointed by Obama, or it's going to be commie light, appointed by George W. Bush and some of those guys. And Trump's put in a lot of judges, but I personally haven't vetted each one of them and seen what their leanings are when it comes to constitutional principles, limited government and guns and free speech and, private property and all that crap.
Yeah. Well, the next thing I'm waiting to see is I still agree with Jeff Rentz on the one thing. I'm waiting for Hillary Clinton to announce. I've even heard stories that, she's out there publicly stating a lot of pressure is being put on her to run, and she's kind of leaking it out that she kind of feels like it's her duty to run and save America.
I'm
still waiting on that.
Well, now you've got Deval Patrick, okay? Boston bombing, Sandy hoax. He's jumped in the race. So the former governor up there of I think he's from Massachusetts. Don't get me wrong, but right up there near Connecticut, Massachusetts, Boston bombing, the whole thing. He's jumping in the race, so he's got to be dirty as can be. They had to trump up a black guy to run. So Kamala's not doing it, and so
yeah, you got to have some dirt on you before you can be a member of the club and be trusted to come on in and be part of the team. That's for sure.
Yeah. So what else is on your mind?
Well, I don't know, man. I'm kind of tired, so I don't know. You got any questions?
Yeah, he was governor of Massachusetts, Deval Patrick. So anyway,
okay.
No, man, I'm good. I got a bunch to cover, Frank, and I got other callers coming online. So,
all right, we'll let you go, man.
All right, later, Frank. Yeah, man. See you. Let's see here. I want to talk about this for a second. This thing where all these younger people, Gen whatever and younger, all the way down to what they call these millennials now. This term they're using for people that are like, older. It's called OK Boomer. Okay. So now there's a carte blanche catch-all response for somebody, these young people out here, when somebody tries to tell them something, when somebody tries to inform them about something, when somebody tries to mentor or educate them or get into a debate, their automatic response now is, okay, boomer. It's kind of like a dismissive, kind of pejorative, okay, boomer. Like saying, okay, because you're a boomer, your opinion doesn't mean anything to me, and you've screwed the country and the world up to the point where now, since you're a boomer, your opinion is dismissed, and us millennials, we're going to take charge, and Pope Francis has got our back, and we're going to, you know, rah, 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 and Bernie. I seen this guy, this fat white guy driving a Camaro when I'm at the gas station. I forgot to mention this, and he's got this sticker on the side of his car. It's a Bernie sticker, and it says Bernie, and it's got a picture of, like, Bernie's glasses. I was just like, what a pathetic excuse for a white person that you are. You got this Jewish communist that's ready to run the frickin' gulags on you, and you know you're gonna sit here. The trendiness it just kills me. I hate it. But everybody's jumping on the Bernie wagon like they were before. All these people, he thinks you're going to get something free. You're going to get your student loans forgiven. Like I said, you want to get your student loans forgiven, fine. Give up your diploma. Why should you get a chance in front of other people that didn't go into debt? Why should you get ahead of them in line when you're looking for jobs and all this other stuff? You got this, you know, degree on the back of the American taxpayer, and now you want the money forgiven. Well, give up your degree. Either that or pay it back. One of the two. All these people, student loan debt forgiveness. Shove it. You either give up the diploma or you pay the money back. That's the way I see it. This culture of irresponsibility is just the worst to me. Let's take Chance in West Virginia.
Yes, hello, Robert. Boy, what an eventful day at that gas station. I bet you're looking for another place to get gas now, huh?
Yeah, it's cheap, so anyway.
Yeah, I always look forward to Frank calling. He's a very astute caller. You mentioned something, Robert, that I thought about from day one, and that's about the organic food. I always said to myself, this is way back when, I says, they're spraying the sky with all this crap and chemtrails. It's got to be getting into the soil. So how could this be possible? And I thought this years ago.
Well, getting into the soil, but just falling onto the plants themselves as they're growing before harvest. I mean, jeez.
Yes. And I said to myself, how could you possibly grow organic food? It's practically impossible. And, you know, and it brought up a couple other anomalies. I don't get involved in this impeachment. I tune out in foreign events because, as far as I'm concerned now, it's all theatrics that's scripted to distract us. I'm more interested what's happening to us on a domestic level and as far as our freedoms go now, preparation and that sort of thing, you know?
Sure, sure.
Because you can really go nuts. I mean, it's good to know. But to dwell on it is a waste of time. Now, here's a couple of other anomalies. I'd like to know your opinion. Now, the 2020 Olympics are going to be held in Tokyo, correct?
Allegedly.
Okay. now, from what I hear, Japanese citizens in that area are coming down with cancers. And I'm saying to myself, why would, even if they suspect people are getting cancers, why would they hold a major event like this there? And that got me to thinking, Robert, about when they had the Olympics in South Africa. I don't know if you remember that.
Sure,
and I said to myself, why the hell would you have Olympics in a country that leads the world in rape, AIDS, and murder, and hold an event such as the Olympics there? That's another thing that kind of blew my mind. And here's something else.
You know, I mentioned this chance about the 2020 Olympics being in Tokyo. I said this, I don't know how long ago, but probably a year or two ago when they announced it. I was like, you know what? Think about it. You bring all the basically best physical specimens from all these countries into this radioactive zone, allegedly radioactive zone, and then you got them there for a significant period of time. They all get isotopes into their bodies, so you just basically screwed up the gene pool of your best physical specimens of all the countries around the planet.
You know what that's called, Robert? That's called getting everybody in one ship and sinking the one ship, and you only have to worry about sinking the one ship. You see what I mean?
Yeah, it's crazy.
And here's another thing. Now, I'm all over the place, but here's another thing I can't understand. Now, everybody should prepare by getting food and everything of the sort, because we live in some crazy times. But I can't understand the life of me is I hear an advertiser selling non-GMO storable food. And I got to say to myself, when you're friggin' starving, does it make a difference at that point if it's GMO or not? You just want to survive. You can't get food anywhere. You know,
even if it's non-GMO at the seed level, it's already been sprayed by genetically modifying crap out of the skies anyway. So I don't mean to bring everybody down, but I just think about this from time to time. I'm like, all right, so it's non-GMO. It wasn't grown with Monsanto seeds, okay? But then you got Green Bra or whatever the airline is up there spraying the Morgellons fibers and the nanotech on it anyway. So,
yeah, you know, I can see through all this hypocrisy, like looking out in a glass window. It's like this Greta Thunberg. She looks like a real nut job. I say to myself also, now here she lives in the country where they're raping the woman. They're murdering, they're destroying the country, and all she could talk about...
climate change.
It's climate change.
Now, bombings are off the charts in Sweden. Bombings, yeah, all these nuts that they've imported, sure.
So, I mean, all this hypocrisy, I'm surprised a lot of people can't... Everything I've mentioned, and that's just the tip of the iceberg. I could think of more, probably, if I had more time, but I just can't think right now. But these are all... things that just don't make sense, you know. South Africa, Tokyo.
I think that's part of the psychological warfare operation, though, is to throw everything the kitchen sink at all of us mentally and spiritually that don't make sense, to turn the world upside down, to demoralize us. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah. I think that Frankfurt School is running overtime. Yeah, really. I mean, but still, I can't see how any rational person and not come to the same conclusion I have with these things and question all these things that seem hypocritical, don't you think?
I mean, I'm right there with you, Chance. Hey, thanks for calling and thanks for listening, brother. It's crazy.
Okay, now, Robert, bye-bye now.
See ya, man.
Tired of being lied to by mass media? It's growing more and more apparent today that news is received less and less through standard media outlets. Even with a growing audience every day, RBN is beginning to direct more efforts into social media. Social media and the use of the internet is fast becoming the primary source of people for news, regardless of demographic. RBN has set out to provide some of the best news on the internet through republicbroadcasting.org and also has begun to use the tools to our advantage by way of social media. Republic Broadcasting is now operating a Facebook page to function as yet another avenue to have our collective voice reach new audiences across not only America, but across the globe as well. The Facebook page features not only news, but also an RBN player to listen to our broadcast. Get involved by visiting facebook.com/republicbroadcasting and liking our page and share it with your friends and family, because you can handle the truth.
This is RBN, the Republic Broadcasting Network.